Hey everyone, this is the Mean Green Nation podcast. I'm your host, Adam. And without me, or like not here, that's what I mean to say, Tony's not here, but he may show up. He's helping out his buddy who has car trouble. I thought at first that he was buying him a car. I didn't know what was going on. He tweeted me, car issues. I don't know, they can mean anything, you know? Maybe he's chopping up a car. Maybe he stole a car and he's chopping it up. I don't know. What I do know is I have Justin Brummett here, and we're going to talk some UNT stuff, some UNT basketball. Justin is from sportdfw.com. Right, Justin? Is this right?
That's right. What's okay. Up, guys?
Justin is distracted because he's watching Duke. In case you're wondering.
Win. Number one team in the nation. Win.
Anyway, for some reason, he's a fan of Duke. But, you know, we're all sinners, and God forgives us all our transgressions. And doesn't discriminate. Okay, so let's talk some UNT sports, man. I suppose, where did we leave off last? They were going into Lehigh, the Lehigh game. I think it's what we talked about, right?
Lehigh was coming up whenever we talked last. It was like 2 days away.
Yeah, so there are three games between the last podcast and this one, and all three were losses. Hey.
What do you know?
Yeah.
Not good.
No, it wasn't good. That Lehigh game was all kinds of terrible. They whooped us on our home floor in front of like 80,000 scouts, I think it was at last count. It was like 60 or something like that.
Not only that, I sat next to Donnie Nelson.
What?
Pretty cool. There were lots of GMs there too. So
go on. What do you say?
Yeah, it was pretty neat. But in the worst part about that loss probably was that about a half an hour before the game, we found out that CJ McCollum wasn't playing.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a whole lot of disappointing. I was expecting a clash of the Titans. It ended up being a disappointment of one Titan, I guess, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Tony Mitchell did not impress. He did some things. I think the overall assessment of him from lots of people, we're going to average it out and say that he was unenthusiastic and didn't dominate, and the team looked terrible, and Tony Benford in particular did not impress the scouts or the GMs present. This about right.
I think that one thing you'd say about Tony Mitchell is if you just look at the box score and you weren't at the game, you look at it, he had like 23-12 or something. And you might think that he had a pretty good game considering the line there. But it was very unimpressive. I mean, he missed a lot of free throws. He didn't look very energetic. And it was something we talked about before, you know, the getting back on defense. And I was talking to some of the guys that were there after the game, and they said the same thing. You know, it looked like I figured with all the scouts there, mm-hmm. you'd see all of his effort, you know, on every trip, and it just didn't seem like it was there. But the whole team looked really bad. Chris Jones, I think, ended up like 0-for-8 or 0-for-9 with like 4 turnovers. Trying to think back, but yeah, it was a very uninspiring and ugly game.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that I think after that game, SB Nation, their mid-major madness, wrote something on it and basically said, stick a fork in us, we're done. And I totally agree with it. I mean, like, this was the game that we were all hyped up for. You could maybe write off all the other ones, like, what all the excuses that were made that we talked about in another podcast that I wrote about, that you no doubt have written about and has been discussed endlessly on the GoMeanGreen.com message board and Mean and Green forum. They have a forum over there. Basically that, maybe it's the coach, he's getting used to the team. Maybe it's the team, they're getting used to the coach. Maybe it's the system, maybe it's the hype. Maybe it's, you know, the moon. Maybe it was the Mayans, whatever. It all came down to this game and a chance to impress. Without their star player, everybody's paying attention, and we fell flat on our face. Basically, we're embarrassing. They put up no kind of fight. The defense was terrible. That was the main thing. What was that guy's name? Knutson?
Knutson, their big man. I think he's like 6'8", 6'9". Inside, outside, a threat. He had an excellent game, and you thought whenever CJ McCollum didn't come out, you're like, you know, this is the chance to come out and without their star player. Now, I know if you come out and you win that game, there's going to be people saying, well, CJ McCollum wasn't playing. Yeah. But you have to at least get that done and take care of it. They come out, CJ averages 24.9 a game, and then two guys put up 25 points that aren't him.
Yeah.
And just made him look silly. They made almost like all their threes in the first half. It was crazy. They were making threes from all over the place, and they were wide open shots. So the defense just wasn't doing a very good job. And then they also scored inside the paint really, really well, because it seemed to me like North Texas defense was just coming out too hard at the threes and then going for pump fakes and allowing inside passes and drive-bys and stuff. So it was an ugly game. And
it was basically a whole lot of bad defense, because all those things, you're not supposed to go out so aggressively that you get beat. You're supposed to, you know, attack like three-quarter speed, or like attack to like right up on them and break down so that way you don't get beat. I mean, this is basic defense. Everybody knows this. You get taught this when you're in middle school. I mean, probably just like at the insert ex-NBA player here camp, you know?
The biggest problem was that, you know, Benford's been saying all year their defense is what's going to win them games, and that's what they've been working so hard on, and the defense just looked non-existent. I mean, even the transition defense was horrible against a team that wasn't extremely athletic without C.J. McCollum. They just, you know, they were a good shooting team. They were fundamentally sound. They made the right plays all night long and just made it look really, really easy.
Yeah, that was the thing, is that they basically out-executed us. And that's how you beat a terrible team. You just play good basketball, and they'll beat themselves. And that's what happened. They, in this case, were us, and we beat ourselves.
All right, you don't play down to their level, and that's exactly what Lehigh did not do.
Yeah.
And they came out and did what they were supposed to do and made it look really, really, really easy.
It was terrible. All right, so fast forward a week. It was about a week, right?
Yeah, about a week. Christmas break. I think the kids got to go home and stuff and clear their minds, maybe.
Yeah. And so, like, it seemed like, all right, we're going to have a game against Western Kentucky, clear our brains, get rid of all the distractions, go home, have your mom give you a hug, maybe a present. You know what I mean? Like, get it all out of your head. It's going to be good. You got your Christmas sweater on. You're feeling good. The family's pumping you up, telling you how great you are. And so you're going to go out there and attack Western Kentucky. Well, they didn't really do that. It looks like Western Kentucky got better presents, I guess. And so they were happier because they jumped out and they dominated. They were up by like 20, I think. That game.
Very early on, they took a huge lead.
Yeah.
The real important thing about that game was that it felt like that in the second half, the Mean Green came out and really played really, really well, kept themselves in the game late into the game, and it was another one of those games that they've lost down the stretch. It just doesn't seem like they have that it factor to finish off the game.
Well, that was the thing. It's like I always say this all the time, that basketball is a game of runs, and you only have a certain number of runs in you. The better teams have longer runs and can hold you to shorter runs. It sounds simple and easy to do, but I mean, that's basically it. You know, it's a game of runs. And so they jumped out, and we let them get a huge lead, and so that's a long run. Now we have to do the same thing to catch up, you know? And so, like, at the end, we used up all this energy coming back, which you did a great job in doing. But we had nothing at the end, or like the breaks, it just didn't fall our way at the end. You know what I mean? And that always happens. That's why you don't want to let the lead get out to 20 points, 15 points, 17 points, especially on the road. It's hard to do that. And they paid for it the next night, but they also a problem was that they were doing a 1-2-2 trap. They were doing a good job forcing Western Kentucky into turnovers. They would trap them on the left baseline or like the near side if you're watching the game, and they would, like, I don't know, they were pretty terrible. Like, Western Kentucky was not good at breaking the press, which Lehigh was really excellent at breaking the press. Lots of turnovers led to easy baskets, and we were hitting some threes. It looked hopeful there for a while. But, you know, like, it just fell apart again. So that's all understandable. Okay. The worst thing that happened was that Chris Jones turned his ankle,
he just turned it, you know, maybe sprained it.
Yeah, and we just
found
out
initially.
Yeah, we just found out now, or today, Brett Vito, intrepid reporter, he found out that Chris Jones broke his foot, so he's going to be out
indefinitely.
Yeah,
it's not very good. Now, and I was out of town in the middle of the country, trying to watch the game on ESPN3, and couldn't quite get it, so I didn't get to see it because of the internet connection that I had. But it would look like one of those games that might be a moral victory if you want to believe in those. You know, it might have been something that springboard you and make you feel like you can compete with some of the top teams in the conference. Mm-hmm. But then they went out the next two nights later against Middle Tennessee and laid an egg again. So,
yeah, and that was basically what I wrote that. I was excited. I felt okay about that Western Kentucky loss.
I don't know about how you feel. I don't believe in moral victories, but I kind of feel that if you're playing good towards the end of the game like that and you get so close and you don't get it, then maybe if you do believe in that, then it's going to be something good the next time.
It made me, especially like the way they shot threes and they moved the ball a little bit better and they showed something that they're good at. And in this case, that was like playing some pressure defense. I thought there was a huge change from that Lehigh game. I was like, awesome. At least we have something to hang our hat on. Unfortunately, what we have to hang our hat on is something that requires depth and hustle and lots of energy. And that's basically what we couldn't do. We couldn't do the same thing against Middle Tennessee. We try to come out in a 2-3 zone. I don't know what we're trying to do out there. We're not very active in it. They broke it apart pretty easily. They were getting good shots. They were missing their good shots. And so it looked like for a second we were kind of holding them with it, but they were just tearing it up. They were getting wide open shots. And later on when we went to it again, they were just hitting them. And so, like, we just looked bad. We had our best success coming back again when we were down by 17. Coming back when we played man pressure and Tony Mitchell was dominating and showing his athleticism. He's like blocking shots on the other end, missing, jumping up over dudes, getting a rebound and landing it back up. We didn't have enough energy and we also didn't have Chris Jones, and so we lost. The good news is they were both on the road against the two best teams in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, we didn't get destroyed in either one. We got blown out in one. But I think a lot of that had to do with how tired we were and how poorly we played in the first game. I mean, this mm-hmm. is basketball. That's what happens. I don't know. Without Chris Jones, going forward, where do you see this team? What do you see happening here?
I think you're at the point in the season where you've just got to continue to try and find some sort of consistency and get a little bit better so that you can hope. You know, and I don't even think win-loss record matters going forward. You know, you just need to be playing good enough basketball when it comes down to the tournament to try and do something there. But besides that, you've got to develop some of the younger guys. I think that this is a big opportunity for P.J. Hardwick to slowly get some more playing time. I know Benford doesn't want to give him the keys yet because you got Alzi that's going to play there. But he's going to get a lot more playing time. You're going to see Clark Overlander get a lot more playing time, and he's a good shooter if he can get the looks and knock them down. So that could open up a little bit of scoring for the team. And one thing that I've noticed the last couple games is Jordan Williams is starting to score the basketball again.
Yeah,
he's leading the team a couple games there, if not all three of them, in scoring.
Yeah, he had 18 against Western Kentucky.
So he's a guy that you saw last year play really good basketball, and he's been, you know, a disappearing act this year. You know, he sat out half of one game with disciplinary issues and stuff like that. But if he can get back in the good graces and get to scoring and all that kind of stuff, he could be a big spark for the team. And then you got to hope that Chris Jones recovers good from his foot and he can come back strong next year, because he was leading the league in assists and then also averaging 10 points a game. So he was having a pretty good season, even with turnover issues and the couple bad games he's had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got another listener now. Hey, listener, you can tweet at us at Mean Green Nation. You'd be part of the show. We'll even answer your questions. What was I going to say? Yeah, like, I think one thing, a big complaint, and a lot of some of the scouting reports about Tony Mitchell have been basically that he doesn't create his own shot. He's not comfortable on the perimeter. He gets in foul trouble, and there's, like, a lack of effort there and that kind of thing. One, I think he's playing out of position. He's 6'8". He's big guy. He's long, but he's not really a banger in there. That's more like Keith Coleman. You stand up Keith Coleman, 6'10", Tony Mitchell, 6'8". They're just like two different body types. Like
They don't look the same. I mean, Keith Coleman's a big dude.
No, and I kind of see where Tony Benford like saw Tony Mitchell playing at the five, thinking we're going to do like some kind of spread the floor, spread and kick kind of thing. We got a super athletic dude in the middle that could like fly around and get dunks, and while we're spreading the floor and opening it up for him and hitting threes. Sounds great. Unfortunately, that's not happening. Like you said, Jordan Williams is scoring the ball. He had 18 against Western Kentucky, 15 against Middle Tennessee State. I don't know why. I wanted to call him like something weird there. I don't know why. But anyway, like they the thing about it is, like, he doesn't shoot a high percentage, and a lot of that is, like, his three-point shooting. I think he went 1-for-7 against Middle Tennessee. But he's like, a career 25% shooter. He hit 27% last year, 24% this year. A lot of that we're trying to come back. But he does miss wide-open shots. Still, he can create his own shot. It's one thing that Tony Mitchell kind of has trouble doing. Like, I think Tony Mitchell's more of, like, a spot-up kind of guy. Last season when he was getting more of those, he shot 40%. This season, he's kind of forcing them. Like, they're trying to get it to him a lot of times late in the game, like on a trailing kind of position. He'll catch and shoot it on the run. Doesn't really work. And he's shooting like some 31% here. And anyway, it's good. We need to run the offense basically through Jordan Williams on the perimeter. He's going to have to take a huge role, chunk of the ball handling skills. I know they said that Tony Mitchell is now the third best ball handler on the team. I guess, what's that? PJ Hardwick. Jordan Williams.
Oh, yeah, probably Hardwick and Alzie and him probably.
Yeah.
I would think, but that's not a good thing either. I mean, Tony's a good ball handler, but he's not. He shouldn't be with their best either. But he can't. It's hard to put him at the center like you were saying. But the problem is that Keith Coleman just hasn't.
hasn't
materialized into anything, and it shows in practice more than it probably shows in the limited time that he gets in the games. But. He really, the bench is so small that he doesn't really have any options there. Nico's not he's a tall guy, but he's not a guy that's going to play inside really either. So that's probably going to improve next year with the recruiting classes coming in with some more size. But from this year, they're probably stuck with him at the center and Franklin at the four.
So how does that fare going forward against Troy, 5-9, 0-3 in conference? And then we have, I forget who we have next. I just lost. I had the schedule on Friday.
They have Troy, and then they have
Florida squads.
ULM, and Little Rock.
Oh, fancy. All right, cool. So
back on Troy, ULM at home. We got one on Thursday and then one on Saturday.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. I'm expecting the guys to play a lot better at home. Really, I see, if I was a coach, and, I wouldn't be the coach. I probably would be a terrible middle school basketball coach. But I don't know. I don't see how this team can keep playing the way they're playing. It has to be all about defense. And I think, I don't know how you make that happen. Tony Benford is the coach, and that's his job to make that happen. But this offense is not going to all of a sudden execute like I said, Utah Jazz 1998-99. Nobody's going to all of a sudden learn how to shoot amazingly, and we don't have a playmaker. We don't have somebody get the ball, to get it to guys and so they can score. How do they score? I think it has to be they have to double down on defense. Like that 2-3 zone is a great idea, but they got to move better. I don't know. I don't really have high hopes anymore. I mean, it's hard for me to say. It's hard to say this team is so close. They're just losing close games. They're losing badly. They're losing out there 10, 15 points to teams that we would have thought they could beat or would have got a lot closer. If you look at last season, they played Middle Tennessee State a lot closer. And I think in a loss than they did this time. What do you think about this upcoming matchup?
I the one thing to worry about with Troy is they score a lot of points. They're a pretty good scoring team, so that's going to be one thing to look out for. But the offense is going to have to run through the defense and transition and things like that because they don't have the shooters right now to score the basketball the way they need to. And it's shown this year they can't just throw the ball in the post to Tony and expect him to do anything because he's either going to get the ball out of his hands or he's not going to be able to get a good shot off or it's going to be a forced shot. So I agree with you. Jordan Williams is going to have to pick up a lot of the load and hopefully they can spread a little bit around throughout the team. Maybe Alzie can score a little better and Holman can score a little better. But you're running out of options because Chris Jones was probably your second best scorer on the team as a guy that can create his own shot and stuff. But I think they'll play really well the next couple games. I think you can expect them to come out and play. It's going to be close. I don't think they're going to blow either team out. But I think you can expect them to come out, play a close game, and maybe come away with two wins, which could be a big boost for a team that's struggled so bad lately.
Yeah, on the season, we're shooting 39%. That's what does it say here? I just lost it. Had it in front of me. 62% from, our distribution. What was that? 43% from two, 24% from three. Efficient field goal percentage, 42%. Troy, let's just say they're shooting better. 43, 31, 44.5, respectively.
Yeah. So they shoot the ball a little better, 61. But they're obviously not a great shooting team either. So, it might be one of those teams that you can get away with kind of packing inside and forcing them to shoot the three and then trying to get the long rebounds and push in the fast break. So I really hope that we see something good on Thursday night, but it's going to take a lot of effort from everybody on the team. They can't have games like they've been having lately. I mean, even the Lehigh game, Chris Jones looked, I mean, he was cramping up a little bit in the game, but he didn't look real impressive on the effort side of things, and Tony didn't either. So,
well, I mean, that's the thing, that Jordan Williams played 40 minutes, played the entire game against.
Yeah, that's gonna, and I think you know, Vito was saying that it looks like those guys are gonna be playing quite a bit lately. We got a call coming in, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, it's Tony. You got
Tony's here.
Yeah, we're waiting on Tony.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, dude? You heard Justin last episode. You know me. You know me. How you doing, dude?
I do know you. You're going in and out, though.
Am I going?
Yeah, you've kind of been doing that for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that, guys. You know what? Give me a second. Okay, so we're back. Hopefully, I fixed it.
Hello.
Work some magic. What was I saying? We're talking, Tony, about the basketball team. We're talking about Troy right now in a matchup that we have on the 5th, right? Okay, no. The game is on the 3rd. We play the 3rd and we play the 5th, but Troy's on the 3rd. Okay, I figured that out. And we're recording again, by the way, guys. you got some hot sports opinions on the basketball team, dude? I mean, we've basically been saying the same thing. Dang, they're terrible. Because that's basically what's going on here. What you think, man?
My hot sports opinion is they're terrible.
It's funny. It's like what I was thinking.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. This team, I don't know, it's like watching, I don't know, it's like taking a beautiful car and putting a crappy engine in it and just having it.
Is it really like a crappy engine, though? Like, I mean, I don't know, it's like a crappy driver. That's what I feel like. I mean, that's like true. I said, I'm one of those guys that's like, this like is kind of on Tony Mitchell because you're the coach. You get all the credit for winning, and you get the blame for losing. You know what I mean? And in this case, it's unusual that we've seen them both with and without them. You know, you don't often see that. A lot of times, you can blame the players, like, well, they're not buying in. They, you know, don't try hard. We've seen most of, if not all, this team play a lot better than they're playing now. I mean, you know, is it because, like, some of the seniors left? I mean, but they got Jacob Holman. He's out there. Like, was, what's his face? Kendrick Hogans, was he that important to this squad or what?
I think my favorite excuse is Brandon Walton's not playing. So this team has all of a sudden gone down the toilet.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I mean, you know, Brandon Walton is a good player. He gives you that perimeter threat that most of these other guys can't do. But that doesn't mean that your whole team should just fall apart because you lose one player, especially a guy that not even sure if he would normally be in your starting lineup. So,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, but Brandon did do a good job filling in last season when Jordan Williams is out, Chris Jones is out. We kind of have that situation now, so we basically need PJ and Alzi to step up and do the job that Alzi and Brandon Walton did last season. This time with the added benefit of having Jordan Williams there, you know, a full season Tony Mitchell and, you know, whatever cast characters we have. This is college basketball. This is major college basketball. This is what happens. You lose guys, guys get suspended, guys get hurt, coaches change teams, you know? I agree. This team should not be playing as terrible as they have been playing. Where do you place their chances going forward, though?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't know, bro. I mean, there's a whole part of me that thought as soon as we got into conference play, the thing was going to turn around and, you know, we'd still make a run for the conference title and that we'd, you know, there's always a part of me that still says we can go to Hot Springs and still get hot and see if something happens. I mean, this team's too talented to ever rule out that chance, but I don't know. It's just one beating after another and more depressing by the day, and I just get less and less enthusiastic and optimistic about it.
I agree. Well, they played, well, I forget, who did they play first in conference play? Because I know they lost Western Kentucky.
They played Lafayette.
Is that who they played? Okay, Lafayette's all right. All right, so now you got Troy. Troy's not good. They're on the bottom of this barrel with us. So who's going to climb out? Who's going to climb over their fellow bottom dweller? Is it like, let's get game predictions, I guess, over Troy here. At home, remember, we're at home. Coming off a disappointing trip. We'll start with Justin. Justin, what you got?
I'll say that I believe we'll see a win out of the Mean Green this time. I hope. You know, the only problem, though, is Troy's not a very good team, but you look back at who was Otherton. Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah.
That Sunday was a terrible game. So I'd like to hope that we step up and play really good basketball and beat a team that we should beat. But I'm not sure if that's going to happen with Chris Jones being out too. But I'll say they win, but it's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a walk in the park.
Tony.
Same here. Troy is actually a team in a way that scares me because Don Mastrione, or I forget his name. I think that's how you say his name. The way he always runs his teams and the way he's run his team for 28 years is he has great shooters. And he has a very streaky team, and a lot of times they don't play well. But if you catch them on a night when they get hot, they're almost impossible to beat. And I remember a Troy team coming in a couple years ago. I want to say it was like 2008. In the middle of the Adufawa, Eric Trammell, Josh White years, and they came in and shot lights out and beat us at the pit. And I remember being completely depressed because they were a horrible team. They were like 2-14, and they came in and beat us at home, and we just hadn't expected that. So I think it's one of those games where I think we're going to win. And like Justin said, it's going to be a close game, and it's going to go down to the wire.
I'm going to go ahead and be optimist guy. I mean, hey, three guys on the Mean Green Nation podcast, all pick Mean Green. What do you know? Yeah. I'm trying to get away from like, oh, we're so talented, we should win, because we know that doesn't mean shit, basically, though, looking back at the season. But I think Troy's not as good. They're not as good as we are, and they are as bad as we are. You know, that makes sense. They have the same record as we do, and they've lost to Sunbelt teams. I think that there's still something in us there's still some potential there, and I think we're chipping away at it. We're kind of figuring out our identity. And if they haven't, I mean, then they're terrible basketball players, and it's a terrible staff. Because they should be pointing out the fact that when we played really great defense, we played really good offense, you know, or decent enough offense, and that's the case. That's how this team's going to score. That's how Johnny Jones' team scored. And that's their only path there. And like this whole 1-2-2 full court press, that may be great. It may be successful here and there and in spots. I don't like to see it most or all of the game. I mean, obviously we don't have the depth, and I don't think we have the legs for it. Like, we're not like super conditioned team to do that. We're already jogging down the court and we're just playing half court kind of D. And you know, we can't have Jordan Williams, Tony Mitchell playing 40 minutes a night. Every night. I mean, we're going to, because that's not going to translate into conference tournament success. Because, like you said, that's our only option there. We have to get good enough on defense. I mean, one, we have to win this conference. I mean, you know, get a good enough conference seed, hopefully, so we're not, you know, playing that first day. But we have to get good enough in our sets, our defensive sets, to do so, to make this run, to hopefully get hot where, you know, Jacob Holman has one of those kinds of tournaments that he had last season. That's what we need. So how do we do this? We got to play defense. We got to play like crazy man-to-man defense. I don't even know if we should be going to any kind of zone. It has to be like crazy man-to-man defense. And so I think this is going to be a win. I don't know much about ULM, believe it or not, it turns out. But that's how we're going to have to beat Troy. And like, we can look forward to ULM and talk about it and whatever, but these dudes need to be looking just at Troy, because that's all that matters. It's like their whole season. Every night is like their whole season, because any loss from here on in is devastating, pretty much. What do you guys think of all that little ramble I just did there? Are you guys there?
Oh, yeah, I was there. I'm sorry, I was coughing. No, you go ahead, Justin.
Okay. I think I agree with you about the way they got to score. They've got to score by, you know, playing on defense and getting out on the break and getting easy baskets, because they're not going to shoot their way to a win. And that looks like the only way they're going to do it. And I don't know how they're going to do it with playing guys 40 minutes a game, too, because then you're going to wear yourself out if you do get to the point of the season where you're playing good basketball and you have a chance to win that conference tournament. You're going to have guys that are exhausted, especially with the way the conference tournament works out where you play so many games so quick. I hope that we have a good game against Troy, and then you go in against ULM. Now, that team lost to Southeast Louisiana. So yeah. They are that's the team that we beat 45-40. So
no, that's another team
that I think we can go out and beat. But you can't look over them, you can't look past them, and they got to take care of business against the teams they got to beat. So hopefully they step it up and do that, because I think that they can. They just need to do it.
Well, I'm looking at Louisiana Monroe's schedule right now.
Looks like a win now that I look at it. But yeah. I could have swore they lost to them.
They lost to Southern. That's who they lost to. 68-39.
Okay. Yeah, see, you can't score. They scored 39 points in a game. And I know we scored 45, but that's way worse.
Yeah. Yeah, like they shot 25%.
They beat the Louisiana team in overtime. So, I mean, that doesn't speak much better. I mean, we only beat them by 5, but still.
That Southeast Louisiana game, wasn't that the game where we won 45-40, where they put it on the website that we had like dominated with our defense and held them to 40 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because that's what Benford said in the post-game press conference.
It was like, domination, domination. Oh, wait, we only scored 45.
They cannot score against us, and also we can't score, but let's just look this way. That's good spin. It's what you're supposed to do if you are the Mean Green website, Mean Green Sports.
Yeah, public relations is really
good. There you go. You look at the positive. Like, yeah, we only scored 45, but they only scored 40. That's all that matters. UALR, that's always weird to say. They're 8-7. They're a solid team. So these two teams, basically, is what we're saying. Like, Troy's RPI is 310. Louisiana Monroe is 275. What is ours? I don't even know ours off the top of our head.
Ours is somewhere in the high 200s.
Yeah, we're 237. There you go. It's our RPI. Strength of schedule is 133, in case you're wondering. All right, so a win and a win. A win and a should probably win. Should we?
I'll take a win. Yeah,
I mean, these are two must wins.
Yeah,
no doubt about that.
So you got a must win. You got a hungry team. You got a team like trying to close ranks and say, look, we got our boys down. Chris Jones down, probably for the season. Got a broken foot. We got to rally around this team, et cetera, et cetera. However, they motivate themselves. I don't know. Is this like a turnaround point? What is this point right here? Is it just like, oh, well, when it rains, it pours. It's all over. Is it that? What is this?
I think they can definitely turn it around, but they're, you know, it's not long before they come back and face Middle Tennessee again. And, yeah. They're back on the road for a few games in a row. So this is, you know, conference play is not easy. Coming back from a break like they just got isn't easy. And so they've got to take care of business, and they've got to work hard in practice. They've got to work hard during the games, and they can't take any breaks. So the team has 17 games left, and then they got the conference tournament. So there's a lot of work to do, and they like Tony keeps saying, they have the talent. This team's a very talented team, and it's sad to see where they've ended up. Whenever you look before the season and say, you know, this team can maybe beat some of the teams they had at the very beginning of their schedule and be a team that makes it into the tournament. Possibly without even, you know, winning a conference tournament. So,
yeah.
I think they can do it. They just have to. They have 17 games to go, and if you win most of those, then you're looking pretty good. That's awful optimistic right now.
Yeah, they got Middle on end of January, and they got Western Kentucky again beginning of February, which is February 7th. It looks like. Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, they have to win these next two games. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, you're already 0-3 in the conference. Can't go 0-5. These are two winnable teams that you should beat. Troy, while they have the same exact record as us right now, both 5-9, both 0-3 in conference, Troy's not a good team. We should be able to beat them, and Monroe's horrible. And it's one of those things. If you don't beat either one of these two teams, if you lose even one of these games, I think your season's really down the tubes at that point.
I think if you lose these two teams, then PJ Harvick goes into the starting lineup, and you just start looking for next year.
Yeah.
Maybe Benford starts talking to some other schools that are having really bad seasons.
If you look at the basketball state rankings, we are second to last in the conference. Troy is last. ULM is right above us. So what does this mean? I don't know. It means like a battle of the basement. We get to see if we really belong in the basement. Or what the hell? This is like it's a big point, big turning point. Also a turning point today in conference realignment news was Boise State basically saying, you know what, Big East, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and stay over here with the Mountain West. because they're going to give me basically everything that I asked for Christmas and every Christmas for the next 4 or 5 years or whatever. They got a sweet-ass deal from the Mountain West Conference. They got like control of their home games, the money from that. They get to wear blue at home, so they get to wear like blue on their blue fields. They got a lot of stuff, but basically they're going to stay in the Mountain West Conference. So this kind of destroys whatever chance that the Big East had for getting some money from ESPN, which, I mean, let's face it, that's who they're looking at. And may mean that some teams are looking to go join them, namely Tulsa, UTEP, and maybe UTSA. I've seen them in the mix. Haven't heard anything about UNT, though. Have you guys, and or what do you think? We'll start with you, Justin. What you think?
You know, I haven't heard anything about us hopefully going that direction, but I don't know if it's the right decision anyway. It seems like the Conference USA is a much more stable conference than the Big East. I don't know if I'd want to put any stock into that conference right now with the way they're going. Losing all the basketball teams they lost is a huge deal. Losing some of the football teams they've lost to, and then not getting Boise they're just grabbing teams that they can get from anywhere in the world and put them together, and it's not a good business plan, in my opinion. So I think they should, I think that North Texas shouldn't even entertain the thought of going to the Big East if that was an option.
Yeah, Justin. I mean, not Justin. Tony, sorry.
No, it's all good. I wouldn't go to the Big East.
There's no option to go to the Big East right now, at least not officially. Like mostly, everybody's moving around, and Conference USA is kind of going to be Sun Belt, just really the Sun Belt, because you got like Tulsa, UTSA, basically everybody that we were hoping to be in a conference with, they're either going to go west or go to the Big East. So we're just kind of stuck in the middle. Basically what I'm saying.
See, I guess I'm hoping that, if UTEP wants to go west, that's fine. I guess I understand that. I'm really hoping that, Tulsa, UTSA, and those schools stay. I mean, I know there's reports that they're either going to go one way or the other, but mm-hmm. I think for the sense of it, it would make so much more sense to keep all the Texas schools in the conference, try to do it that way. And maybe if the new Big East fell apart, maybe if you could pull back, not like SMU or Houston, but maybe if you could pull back some of those other old USA teams like Tulane or Memphis or, somebody else like that and make a real nice regional conference. I think that would be the best thing that we could hope for, but it's not looking too great for us right now. It seems like every time we do something and advance ourselves, stuff around
every
us
time
just
we take
up.
A step up, they pull us back down, right? Yeah. I think a lot of this is like our own fault, basically. We haven't had a good program, and a lot of that, I guess you could say, is ultimately the fans' fault. I mean, I think I've said on this podcast before that, hey, make $1 billion, donate $1 billion, and then, all of a sudden our money problems are solved. You're typing something at me, dude. I can hear you type so loud.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm kidding. That's basically it. There's not a whole lot of fan support, so there's not a whole lot of money like following North Texas around, and so these conferences and ultimately these TV networks are not really interested in us. These are the facts. They're not in dispute. I don't know. I don't know where this puts us. Like I said, I don't really care about ECU. I don't really care about the Big East. I don't really care about like UTSA and UTEP or Boise. Mostly, I just kind of want to be in a conference where we have some regional rivals and we can build up some kind of history, some kind of connection with these other schools, because that's how we build this program. That's how we get into Houston if we play games in Houston regularly and we win games there. That's how we get those Houston recruits. It makes it a lot easier when, we're over there winning and, there's like that secondary brand recognition recruiting thing going out there where our name's going out there doing some recruiting for us. Does that make sense, everybody?
Yeah, sure. Agree too. I think, but we've gotten into they're getting into the age in college sports where it's hard to build those kind of things. I mean, when you look at the some of the Big East schools that are leaving, that were just basketball schools and stuff now, you're looking at teams that have made tons of history in that conference. So I think it's getting to the point where things are going to keep shuffling and shuffling until they ultimately decide that teams that we're going to have, you know, super conferences sitting around and everybody goes to that. But it's a shame to see how all the switching around, because every offseason is going to be the same way, at least in the foreseeable future, because it doesn't look like it's going to slow up anytime soon.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of people, like, we have some of this problem here, too. It's like, we're like, oh, we're going to Conference USA. It has so much cachet, so much amazingness. I think some people were saying that. I had this really ridiculous argument with this Houstonite, Cougar fan today at work. And he was like, yeah, you know, the Big East has all this cachet. People recognize it. It's a brand name. No, they don't. Like, I think when I think Big East, I think like UConn versus Syracuse. And so when I turn on the TV, see the Big East tournament, and it's Houston and SMU, I'm like, where's UConn and Syracuse? Oh, they're the ACC tournament? Now I'm watching there, you know? And so now all that cachet gets transferred over to the ACC. So whatever amazingness there is in Conference USA right now is going to be temporary. We have to build it. Like, you can't slap a new name on it and be like, all right, well, now we're good because we have a better name and a cool-looking logo. No, you have to have a good team. Then whatever logo you have, all of a sudden looks amazing, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
And I agree with that, too. I mean, the Big East, to me now, is nowhere near as good as the Mountain West. I think the Mountain West, especially if they bring back San Diego State, too, they really solidify themselves as a football conference with Boise. And, I mean, with the new changes in the BCS and the fact that the Big East doesn't have the guaranteed shot into the BCS anymore, I mean, that puts them on equal or even lesser footing than the Mountain West, in my opinion. And I totally agree with what you say. I mean, you got to get into a conference and build that brand recognition to the point where you want it to be successful and everything like that. Because there's nothing there anymore. I mean, it's Conference USA, but it's not the Conference USA of 5 years ago. It's the new Conference USA, and you're basically starting it all over. So
yeah,
you just got to build it the way where you want to take it. And the best thing North Texas has got to do is win. If we win games, everything else is going to take care of itself. It doesn't matter who we play, what conference we're in, anything else. We just got to start winning games.
Yeah, you got to win games in order to got to get that brand name, like y'all say, and winning games is the biggest part of that. I mean, you look at teams like a TCU that 10 years ago wasn't a national power, and they're in the Big 12 now. So, I mean, Northern Illinois was in a huge bowl because they've won, 10 or 11 games two seasons in a row. So you got to win, and that's what it comes down to ultimately.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, that I know a lot of us, we like to knock UTSA and their accomplishments. I know there was like a huge thread saying, oh, well, they won the first five games, but they won against nobodies, right? Nobody cares about that. Nobody really cares about the details of your record until like it comes to time to determine like bowl records. But we're not even in that conversation yet. We're not even in like, should we be, number 10 in the BCS or number 9 based off strength of schedule? We're not even winning six games, So if we get six games against New Mexico State, or stay in like Sunbelt 2.0 now with new Rice and, now with more Rice, that's what we should call it. It doesn't matter. As long as we're winning games, once we do that, then we can level up. Our first problem is winning games. So none of it really, really matters. Secondary option is just like, make it cool for your fans because you get to go down to San Antonio and be on the Riverwalk and, cheer on the Mean Green without having to hop on a plane or something like that. Or for a cheap flight, there you go. We have small goals here at UNT, and they're just fine,
Eventually, you got to meet those small goals, though.
Yeah, you got to accomplish them first before you complain about other ones.
Yeah.
Speaking of goals, looks like we got Chad Davis. I think I mentioned this before, that like UTSA, they dismissed a lot of their cornerbacks, and they were looking at Chad Davis. He was a UNT recruit, is a UNT recruit, and he committed to UNT recently. You guys have any thoughts on him, or we're just like, yeah, we got a new guy?
He seems like he's a pretty decent player. I think Rivals rated him as a 3-star cornerback. Pretty good speed. Don't know anything about his coverage ability, but we can use any cornerbacks that we can get, especially with our shoplifter maybe not being able to come back. So. Yeah, I think it's always great when you can get secondary help, especially with a team that struggled as bad as they did this year. So It can be big if he comes in and plays good.
He had interest in Houston, Iowa State, Kansas State, but he got offered by San Jose State, Texas Tech, UTSA, Tulsa, Utah State, which is good. They had like an 11-1 season this year, or 10-2 season. They won a bowl game. Excuse me. And UTEP. So that's good. They basically beat out the WAC plus a couple Big 12 schools. That's awesome. What's up?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's all I was going to say. Like, this is good. This is the kind of thing we want to do. Like Brett Vito, I don't always agree with him, but one thing that he does say is that generally recruiting rankings do matter. You know, like any individual player, you don't know if that dude's going to be good. Sorry, that's my dog barking at people walking around. Because that's what he does. If you reach in and you pull out a whole lot of threes, some of them, you know, they all can't be terrible. One or two of those guys are going to be good. And I think I said this before about like the rule of thirds. Like a third of recruiting class, you hope that they start. The other third, you hope they just contribute. And the rest, you know, they're probably just going to transfer or just going to be there, basically. And if you can get that, then you're happy with it. Because then that means you've done a good job.
Ultimately, at the top of the he ends up coming in as, I mean, if you follow Rivals, which is what I normally kind of take a look at, is he's the highest rated recruit they have now. So, coming in next year. So that's a pretty big step.
Huge step.
I was going to say, too, I think it's really kind of amazing if you look at last year to this coming year. Last year, our weakness by far was the secondary on that team. And I think this year we're looking at a much improved secondary, not only with what's his name? The freshman guy that was the former running back that played all year.
Zach Whitfield.
Whitfield, that's it. And not only with him, coming back, having another season under his belt, bringing in this good three-star recruit, we've got that safety that's coming in from Louisville that's going to play for a year. You know, you still got Marcus Trice. You still got, I don't know if Freddie Warner's going to do anything with his ACL or what's going on, but I just think the depth and that everything in this defensive back situation is looking much better than it was a year ago, and that's always a good sign.
And we also pulled in the transfer guy a couple weeks ago too, right?
Oh, that's right, the JUCO.
Yeah,
JUCO transfer. Yeah. So he's supposed to be all right too. So they could come in with a much improved secondary, and that can do wonders for this team. You know, if you really pay attention to the games last year, that's what really hurt them all season long. So, you bring a secondary in that can play, and they might win a couple more games than they did last year. So,
definitely hope you can get some of those like coverage sacks and stuff like that.
Exactly.
That we've been missing for the last 7 years around here.
Yeah, or the turnovers that they just didn't have last year either. So
that's true.
It could be really huge if they do that, and if you get enough wins to get into the bowl eligibility, then that's another big step.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's been 7 years. I think I was arguing all day with this guy because he was like, you know, Houston was good in 1990. That means therefore they could compete in the Big 12 because they beat Texas in 1990. I was like, dude, you sound stupid. No more can we be like, yeah, we were the class of this conference because we've been the bottom, the ass of this conference for so long. It's already been 8 years we haven't made a bowl game. And the last 6-7 years we've been laughingstocks, you know. And there's definitely an improvement trend line. And everybody says, oh, well, Dan McCartney has his team doing better. They're on a good track and et cetera, et cetera. I think this is one example of basically that. They had a problem. They had a liability, they're addressing it. And they also have more scholars to hand out. They have they were like 8 short last season, right? And they only had like 8 seniors or something like that. I think Rice and UTSA had only like fewer seniors or something. So things are going good. It was not the greatest year last season. I asked this on Twitter. What were your favorite UNT moments last year? Top 3. Tony, we'll go with you first.
My favorite moments from last year?
Yeah, 2012. It's 2013 now. I don't know if you noticed.
I mean, getting into Conference USA was a great moment. I don't know. Maybe the shot against Louisiana Lafayette in the Hot Springs tournament. That was.
Oh, yeah. Was that the Brandon Walton one? Is that what
That was a hell of a shot.
You got third?
I don't know. Maybe the first half against Kansas State where we actually looked decently competitive.
Well, what about you?
I'd say his first two are probably on mine too, and then my third would probably be the screenplay to Jimerson to win that game.
That was pretty.
We were up in the press box getting ready to walk down. It was kind of, you know, still pretty close. We were trying to decide if we were going to go ahead and go, and then that happened, and it was, I mean, it was like, you're not supposed to cheer in the press box, but there were people jumping up and down, and it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think that's probably my number one, because it was like national TV, got a lot of tweets about it, everybody's excited. I think I got like locked off of Twitter because of that. I was tweeting so much.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, that was it. Was a
top 10.
Yeah, it was a comeback. It was awesome. I think my second favorite moment was probably Tony Mitchell like announcing that he was coming back. You know, I was like, this season's gonna be great. Like, that's not so great anymore, judging by the beginning of this basketball season. But it was awesome at the time. And like, I think the third one was probably that the tournament run. I guess we'll call all of that a moment because it felt like a moment. Because it almost looked like we had a chance. I was really excited because like it seemed like, for a second there, when we lost CJ and J Dub, that like the whole season was for naught. Like, we're basically, well, you know, we'll be lucky if we just show up in the tournament, basically. But they went in, and it seemed like everything clicked. Jacob Holman played really well. Brandon Walton played well. Trey Norris played well. He's gone now.
Do you ever wonder what if those guys were playing?
Yeah, dude, that's all I kept saying. I was like, look how well we're playing. Can you imagine how, you know, how much better this would be? And then we had a 13-point lead against Western Kentucky in that game, too. That's ridiculous. Should have went to the tournament.
Yeah, so that's why our basketball team's not good anymore. Trey Norris is gone. That's the whole reason right there.
It's all because of Trey Norris.
Watch out, South Dakota. They're going to be good.
Oh, yeah. So 2012 ended kind of on a sour note for this team, but I think good things are going to happen. You know, I think this is like predicting all the way to the end of March, basically. I think Tony Mitchell is going to go to the NBA, and I think that's probably the best choice for him. If he comes back, though, I don't know. Like, what do you think? What do you put his chances at coming back? I don't even know if he's coming back anymore.
You know, I might. Probably higher than it'll be the rest of the season, because he can't play the way he's playing right now and get drafted where he wants to get drafted. So, and you know, I think last year he came back because he wanted to win. I think he showed a lot of emotion when they lost that championship game, and he came back because he wanted to win at North Texas. He could have been a really high draft pick, but he wanted to win. That he put up. You know, you look at his numbers, and they haven't been absolutely horrific if you look at them, but he just hasn't been impressive. So, a lot of NBA people will draft purely on athleticism and potential. So he might still go a lot higher than I think he'll go. But at the moment, I don't see him as a lottery pick. I see him as a guy that drops late into the first round. You know, there are plenty of players that their stock will go up between now and then. So that's the only thing that I think. And if they continue to struggle and don't show up very well, then I think it might be a possibility of him coming back. But I guess nobody knows unless you talk to him about it. But
yeah.
That's
also why I don't buy the whole, Tony Mitchell doesn't care. He just doesn't care about this team. I'm like, he could have went to the NBA. He could have gone. And he didn't. He chose to come back and win and play with these guys. So I don't know how you can mesh those two facts there, and you know, be like, oh well, you know, he cares, but just not right now. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I give him a 0.00% chance of coming back next year, and the reason I'm so optimistic about that is the fact that Benford doesn't utilize him the way he needs to be utilized.
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
what I was gonna say.
Realizes that he's just going to take more and more and more hit. He might as well get out now while he's still somewhat of a name and everything like that. Go make his money. Your rookie contract's going to be low, whether you're anywhere from, you know, the sixth pick anywhere to the, you know, the 20th pick. So if he falls in that range, he's not going to be a top five pick anyways, at least now. So he's still going to make the same amount of money. He might as well just go to the NBA and have a team utilize him the way he can be utilized and make his money off that. And it stinks because I think he does love North Texas, and I think he wants to be there and help him win and do everything like that. But I think he's damaging himself if he stays any longer with this coaching staff.
Totally agree. And with that, I think we'll close this episode of the Mean Green Nation podcast. Sorry for the weirdness in the middle. You blame that on me. What else we got? You have parting thoughts? Anyone?
I think that you'll just have to watch out for these next two games and see how they go, because if they go good, then I think you can be kind of optimistic for the rest of the year. And if they go bad, then you kind of know how it's going to go.
Yeah. Again, watch that defense. Like, we're basically, when we're watching that defense, we're watching Tony Benford, because I think that's their only option. It's interesting. It's an interesting problem to have for them. Justin, we can find you sportdfw.com and Justin Brummett on Twitter. Is this correct?
That's right.
Tony, we can find you at Boston Mean Green on Twitter. Is this correct?
That's correct.
All right. Adam, and you are super awesome. Well, yes, I am. Turns out. No, sorry. Yeah, you can, of course, subscribe in iTunes. This is Mean Green Nations, at Mean Green Nation on Twitter. You follow me personally, where I just talk stuff, just, you know, about life. I'm Aztec Skin on Twitter also. Right after this, well, not right after this, around 9-ish, I'm going to be recording the Deranged Penguin podcast, where we just talk about, like, pop culture. Yes, I have a media empire, but that media empire right now is, like, a media township. I'm working on it. We're annexing nearby territories. So yeah, go Mean Green, guys. And I'll be live tweeting the January 3rd game against Troy. Justin will be doing the same. Are you gonna be doing another chat, or
I don't know. I'm debating whether or not. I had one person in there last time, yeah. So I don't know if I'm gonna try. I might try it again. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I might try it again.
I should be around tomorrow night.
All right. Well, if you want to, I'll tweet the link out to the. I'll tweet too, but I'll have a little chat room going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you probably want to, like, advertise that, I guess. That's
yeah, I did about an hour. I got there way early last game because, you know, I was really worried that I wasn't going to get my seat. But yeah. It turns out that the SID gave me the exact seat he always gives me, which is perfect.
Awesome.
But I was afraid he was going to kick me out because of all the scouts that were there. but he gave me the good seat, so I was happy. But I got there way early and tried to advertise it a little bit, and it didn't really work.
Okay. I'm actually going to try to head up to them tomorrow night, too. I don't know if that's possible.
That's sweet. All right. Well, so, yeah.
Well, if you're there, you're here, say hello.
Definitely.
So, yeah, you, listener, go see if you can jump in the chat, or just, you know, look at me tweet about it. I'll try to jump in the chat, too. But, like, it, like, splits my attention sometimes, and I forget. I, like, miss what's going on. I'm like, oh, crap, I was reading the tweet and not watching the play. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Go Mean Green, Happy New Year, and, you know, all that good stuff.